This week on RSVNB Update, overgrown idols appear for the woodcutting skill, but are they enough to idolize woodcutting? Also, what updates would be needed to truly modernize woodcutting? An overview of player-owned farms and the upcoming clad updates. This is RSVNB Update, episode 671, recorded Thursday, May 17th, 2018, Idolizing Woodcutting. Hello, everybody, and thank you for joining us for another episode of RSVNB Update. Tanis and myself are back this week, as per usual. Welcome back, Tanis.
Thank you.
So this week is a relatively interesting week when it comes to RS updates, I think, because this update impacts things, but it doesn't impact things a whole lot in terms of being a massive update like some other things, right?
That's right. In some ways, it was a real test for me with just with the last few weeks and with updates, basically, you know, from the mining and smithing beta on until now, it was a matter of like, it was testing me of like, are you going to be consistent or do you think this update is the end all be all great thing? You know what I mean? Or is there something missing?
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, before we do that, I think we'll just talk briefly about the charity event that's going on. Jagex has the three charitable organizations in-game that you can talk to, once again, for Mental Health Awareness Week in the UK. And this year, they're focusing on stress. So they're running one of those currency events that we saw numerous times throughout 2017 and have died down a bit this year. And I think everyone was fatigued about those at the time. But now is probably a good time to bring those back. I think everyone's had a sufficient enough break for those.
Yeah, and it's, you know, I love it when they do causes like this. And stress is a huge, it's a huge thing for everybody. And it affects so much in your life.
Right.
So, and you know what? I have even found a way to make these token gathering type events less stressful.
Oh, how are you doing that?
Believe it or not, just the simple act of adding them to your currency pouch where you're not seeing it all the time, it makes it so much less stressful. You're not thinking, oh, I got to gather this much this day or whatever. You just put it in your pouch, do what you're doing anyway, and it all works out.
Yeah. And what you can get from these ones if you're not participating is you can convert them out for bonus XP stars and, you know, the usual rigmarole from that. But if you decide to go the full way, you can get some good cosmetics overrides from this, including two new pets, Percy and Scoop, which you can see on the news page for this update. You going for the pets this time?
I gotta have the pets, man. Okay. I got to. Right. Gotta have the pets.
Yeah, I'm not too much for those, so I'm not gonna go for the pets. I might go for some of the other cosmetics along the way there. So, you know, just as a reminder, the charity organizations that are in play are CPSL Mind, the Prince's Trust, and the YMCA in the UK. You know, talking about stress. So, with that being said, I think one thing that we should talk about is that, you know, you said you can reduce the stress of the event by putting the currency tokens in the currency pouch, which is great. But at the same time, you know, stress is something that people are not acutely aware of, I've found, you know?
That is true, yeah.
You might be stressed, yeah, and you might not even know it. And, you know, I think that is a good... that's a good way of looking at it because, you know, you're not aware. And I think the number one way to combat that is to raise awareness of your mental state. And sometimes the best way of doing that is to just take a couple day break, and that can be absurdly refreshing. You know, just go somewhere that you're out of your traditional environment, and that can just be a huge release on that stress. And you know, if you feel better coming back, there's obviously something that was going on in your mind beforehand, and you can kind of use that as a bit of a release. And another thing that I think we should be talking about with stress is that, you know, people automatically assume that those who are, you know, midlife and in their 40s and whatnot with kids and are going to be the ones who are the most stressed. But in reality, there have been studies done in the past that have said that students, high school and university and whatnot, are actually some of the most stressed people in the world.
Oh, and I can totally, I mean, we've all been there, right? I mean, I can totally believe that. And stress and anxiety, I mean, stress bleeds into anxiety, and that stuff can be really detrimental. So I think you're right, you know, take a few minutes and you know, maintain your mental health just as the way you would maintain your physical health. I mean, it all goes together. And you know, even when we're playing RS, sometimes you can get stressed out, and you just got to take a minute and breathe and sit back and be cool.
Yeah, definitely. And you know, another thing with this is that you might see stress as, oh, this is just something that's going to be here for, you know, a day or a couple days at a time. But you know, if you let it compound over time, it can become an issue to the point where you will actually need to go and see someone to get help in dealing with it. And that's what these organizations that Jagex is partnering with here are a part of with this. So it's good to, you know, if you're interested in this, or you might think you might be suffering, just head on around, talk to the NPCs, and maybe learn a bit about stress and whatnot. And I guess we could end this off by saying, don't stress at getting these pets, because, you know, they're not limited in the amount of currency that you can get. That's no longer a thing. You just play as you desire to play, and away you go.
Yep. So. Do you, boo.
That's right. Do you. All right. So shall we get to the update of the week that everyone's been talking about, the Overgrown Idols?
Yeah, let's do this. Okay.
So this is woodcutting. You know, woodcutting previously was talked about as always being ivy at level 65 and crystal trees at level 94. And, you know, there you would just do ivy along the way, all the way until you got to the crystal trees. And you would use that as your semi-AFK training method. But, you know, when it comes down to it, there was that gap missing in the low 80s. So, quick 2-minute thoughts. What do you think?
For me, it's a good update. It doesn't go far enough in the way that I have been enjoying the new skilling techniques and methods that they have been doing.
All right.
And this actually brought up a bigger point for me, and something that was, I'm able to kind of like sit back and examine a little bit. I think it's also, maybe this is also allowing me to see the other side, the other point of view when it comes to other updates. Because for Overgrown Idols, okay, for me, this is still, I mean, this is an AFK woodcutting update, right? With some really cool perks and stuff like that. I mean, it's got some bells and whistles that are different and cool. But at the end of the day, it's woodcutting, which is pretty much AFK, no matter what you're doing, except for Crystal Acadias, right? So I'm sitting here going, okay, but where's the reward for active gameplay? You know, I feel like that is missing. But at the same time, I'm going, this is a new method, but is it diverse? Did they diversify woodcutting? And so that makes me kind of think back and go, okay, well, now I'm starting to see, like, your guys' points from last week, because now it's hitting me when it comes to woodcutting.
So, in particular, do you mean that this is just a new training method along the way, everything else is untouched, and, you know, ivy, crystals, and acadias are as is?
Not so much that they... Well, yeah, I mean, as yeah, they are. I mean, they this you know does fit right in that. I mean, it fits right in the spot, but it's. I mean, woodcutting an idol is the same as woodcutting a crystal tree,
right.
Which is the same right. as woodcutting ivy. You know what I mean? Like, no matter what it is, it's the same. And so to me, that's like not that doesn't really add diversity. So that kind of helps me relate to different points of view where they would say, you know, these other methods for these other skills didn't add diversity to them. So.
Yeah, and, you know, I think that this is, you know, a good plank to talk about here because, actually, let's go through the XP rates before we talk about what the JMod said about this because I think that was a good point with this. So you can expect, on average, I found to get between 95k and 100k XP per hour doing idols solo with no boosts. Now, if you take this up to a group effort, because that's what these are obviously designed to be, and because, you know, if you have more than one person chopping at a piece of the overgrown idol, you're going to get XP faster from it. So that takes it up to about 140k XP per hour without boosts. Now, for comparison's sake, Crystal Tree is coming in at around 115k XP per hour without boosts, but can go up to 175k XP per hour if they are boosted. So you can see that this is in the middle, and this is more of a AFK group-style training than if you were to just, you know, go full tilt on Crystal Trees. And once again, you do need level 94 for that. So I think the XP here is fitting nicely in terms of the spectrum that we've laid out. So there's that.
Yeah, I mean, for sure. I think the XP rates are, I mean, I think those are actually, they're better done. Those XP rates are better done for the space they're trying to fill. But I really wish we could have had something in woodcutting that would reward us for being active
right.
rather than just...
And-
you know, Netflix.
And I was actually thinking about that this week as well. I'll get to that in just a moment. But for comparison's sake, Ivy comes in at around 80k XP per hour. So this is a step above that. And I mean, at level 81, that's good. And Crystallized Acadia is still on top, you know, fully involved in it. You're going to be getting in around 180k XP per hour. So that's a very, very fast woodcutting training method. Now, go ahead.
I was just gonna. You knew, like you already knew. I've just wondered where Golden Bamboo falls in at this, because, and the reason I ask that is because I did Crystal Trees during a woodcutting comp one time, and I got my butt absolutely handed to me from someone doing Golden Bamboo.
I think Golden Bamboo is on par with Acadia.
Okay. Okay. That makes sense.
I think that that's the case. I might have to double check that, but I'm fairly certain that's the case. And I think that's okay, because when you look at it, you have Golden Bamboo, you have to get that on one of your Arc Islands. So that, I mean, that's something that you're going to need to farm specifically, and you can only do that for a certain amount of time per day.
Yeah. So it's hard to be consistent with it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, that's actually one of the methods I was looking for, prior to when the, Fish Frenzy came out, as I was contemplating raising invention up by doing Golden Bamboo on my island. So,
okay.
but I mean, unfortunately, at this point, I think Fish Frenzy beats all else, right?
So, yeah, I don't even. I'm not even sure. I don't know. Combat might. It's probably still king, but Fish and Frenzy is definitely the king of the skills.
Golden Bamboo is 130k unboosted.
Okay.
So if you boost it, it's going to shoot up. Probably, I'd say, be on par with Acadia, if not slightly better.
Yep.
So.
All right.
And I mean, it's
good
limited,
deal.
So. Now, when it comes to the actual idols themselves, there's three rings that you need to cut through before you get to the center of it. And, you know, on average, I think it takes about, I want to say, 45 minutes to an hour if you're doing this solo to get through one of these. Obviously, you'll be quicker if you're doing it with a group.
It took a lot longer than what I expected.
Right. Now, there is a chat with this, and I mentioned it in the weekly bite at youtube.com/rsbnb, where this was set up very early on in the week. The friends chat is called WC Idols, with a space in between, WC space IDOLS. And the idea behind this is that people were gathering together to clear these. And, you know, I don't know if it's going to continue or whatnot, because it seemed to be primarily an endeavor to get the lore book, which, of course, does reveal some lore on the Kyuramjin gods. So if you're a lore hound, that's going to be interesting to you. And, you know, I would also like to point everyone else at this point back to RuneFest this past year. Do you remember at RuneFest in the RuneScape reveal segment, they said they were working on a piece of content that would affect the Kyuramjin god lore?
Oh, that's right, yeah.
And here it is.
Yeah. Okay.
So, I mean, it was obviously small, but here it is. It was prototyped at RuneFest, and they wanted to do it, and it has arrived. We'll have to see where that goes in the future, because, I mean, I think that's one of the relatively untouched areas in terms of lore for the game is the Kyuramjin Island and whatnot. So,
yeah, it is. And all we know is, like, I forget the name of that monkey god, but she likes to party.
Marimbo?
Marimbo. Yeah. No, it's not. Wait, is it Marimbo?
I think it's Marimbo, yeah.
Okay. What was I thinking of? I was thinking of something else.
Yeah, pretty sure it's Marimbo.
Marimbo, okay.
So let's get back to that discussion of this 5-year scaling plan and if this fits in with that. So the idea behind this is that, you know, this is largely AFK. There's a bar and you just sit there and you chop. Now, it doesn't really fit into adding diversity to the skill because it's not a lean forward training method. It's just a AFK training method to fill the gap. And you said woodcutting is missing that. And, you know, to an extent, I think we were largely spoiled by deep sea fishing, which added a bunch of new training methods that were both lean forward, lucrative, and relatively AFK. We were spoiled by that. And that unfortunately became the benchmark. And that doesn't mean deep sea fishing was bad. It's just that's a benchmark that we're using to look at all these pieces of content going forward, which we probably shouldn't be doing. And that's why I want to look at this a little bit differently. And I was going to say that, you know, back in the day, it was entirely possible that if you wanted to, you know, get a boatload of money, you could indeed go cut magic logs and you could sell them, you know, for 1200 GP a piece. Currently, magic logs are going for 434 GP a piece.
Mm-hmm.
So, and, you know, this goes back to that whole skilling rebalance thing as well. And what I'm going to say here is that if Jagex wants to add diversity to skilling, what you do is you do the following. You remove magic logs from the drop tables of all the Slayer creatures and bosses out there. That's the first thing you do. The second thing you do is you update the high-level trees like Elder and Magic and You so that when you chop them, there's a little bit of a progress bar behind them. And, you know, it doesn't need to be a flash like the safe cracks when they flash that you get a little bit more XP from them. But if, for example, let's just say, and you know, we have the graphics ability to do this now with the RS engine, I hope, to add a lean forward training method like that, what you do is for the Elder, Magic, and Yew trees, you just make the leaves start swaying. And if the leaves start swaying and the player clicks on, you know, the tree a number of times while the leaves are swaying, that will increase the chance of them getting a log.
Okay.
And that brings more logs into the game. And if you do that, you can effectively make woodcutting lean forward and add in the ability to get these logs and get something good from them. So that would be my suggestion for diversifying woodcutting.
You know, that would help a lot. Maybe even, you know, and I think that is where we're at, you know, that definitely would work for the GP part of the equation and the active part of the equation. I wonder if there is a way to turn those extra resources instead of resources into XP so that you have the lean forward approach but being rewarded with XP instead of just the resources.
You know what I'd do for that is I would add a second tier of Ivy that would not be AFK. Actually, just make all Ivy have the option of being not AFK or whatnot, and just have that be the lead forward XP version. You know, just if you treat Ivy like trees were back in RS Classic.
You just solved my inner dilemma. That it makes perfect sense. We'll talk about this later, but what you just did actually makes a ton of sense. Going back to the old method, making it new,
right?
Or doesn't feel old.
And how many? I don't know how many times I have said this, and you know, we'll talk about this in the skill and cape perk discussion as well, which is coming later. Did you play RS Classic?
No, I never had the pleasure of that one.
You know, the thing that I enjoyed about RS Classic, and you guys are going to think I'm absolutely crazy and I should be committed for this, is I enjoyed the skilling aspects of woodcutting and mining and fishing, where you had to click on the spot. And that made those skills hard, and it made 99s prestigious. And granted, you know, we're going to have the XP rates of today in RS3, but there's no reason why we can't go back to that. You know, just add a new tier of Ivy that when you click on it, when it shudders or when there's a, I don't know, a bumblebee or something on it, it gives you more XP.
Yeah, I mean, I actually like the idea and where you're going with that. And I think what I'm starting to see is maybe we don't have to have something completely brand new. I know I like to see new things, right? And so my natural tendency is to say, I want something new. I want something completely not done before and
right.
New. But what I'm beginning to kind of see here is that you're saying you can take something old and completely revamp it with mechanics of today and a lean forward approach that keeps it relevant in the game and actually makes it new. Kind of like that. I almost,
and the reason I like suggest that, this is because I ask everyone here who is a high level player, when was the last time you cut a U log or a magic log out of necessity?
Oh, RS2 for sure. I know it's an RS2.
Exactly. And
yeah, I know.
Like, these things are in game and they're the highest level trees in game. People can grow them inside of the Falador Garden and all the other tree spots. So why are we not, utilizing that?
You know, I always wondered why there wasn't more use for our own trees that we planted. Like, that's always, and I've always wondered why that couldn't be at our, because we have like all these plants in our house, why they couldn't be actual useful plants in the garden, you know, like a tree and stuff. I've always wondered that and stuff.
Yeah. And I mean, we're kind of in with that case bordering on what is in construction and if that's possible, but I think
for the
wider world that solves a problem. Now, I'm going to throw this out here right now, is that if you go to the RS Wiki, they have this thing called the Money Making Guide, and cutting elder logs right now, you know, level 90 woodcutting recommended plus 33 summoning recommended for the beaver pouch. And if you do that with a honed perk, you can apparently get 891 KXP per GP per hour, sorry, cutting elder logs. Now, imagine you multiply this by a factor of 2 with the lean forward method. Suddenly, woodcutting becomes a decent moneymaker.
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head with, we've got to get the resources out of the combat arena. Give them money so they can buy the skiller stuff. It's fine with
me. And now, I mean, it could even be times 2.5, because I think somewhere between 1 and 1 million GP per hour would be good for magic logs. But with that being said, you're going to say, okay, so there's going to be all these logs coming into game. How do you, what do you do with them? Well,
will there really, though?
Well,
I mean, how many people are really going to woodcut for them? I think it would even out. And I think it's going to depend on the uses. So there's certain uses for magic logs
and
certain uses for elders.
And here's what I'm going to say.
You know what I mean?
Here's what I'm going to say. There's this little thing. I'm going to give you guys a little bit of a teaser here right now from our patch notes segment here. In preparation for Solak's release at the end of the month, Blight Bolts have been added to the drop tables of Lost Grove creatures. Blight Bolts will be the ammo used in the Tier 92 Blightbound crossbow. So that's Tier 92. Let's add a new form of ammunition at Tier 90. And you need to fletch these. So let's make these creatures instead give the heads. And then the Tier 92 ones require Elder Logs to make the shaft of the arrow or the bolt. I mean, they're Elder Logs, and you're going to enchant them. So you can make this Elder shaft, and it's going to be really hard. And then you can do the same thing with a magic one at level 90. And voila, there's your use for magic and Elder Logs.
Yeah, that makes sense. I like it.
So that's what could be done to expand.
I don't know what she's doing. She's still being weird, dude.
Is that the Alexa or the Siri?
It's the Echo. I don't even know how to turn her off.
Do they ever talk to each other?
No, but I have seen videos where they do. But no.
Because mine don't. You know, that's when you think so about weird. It, they could talk to each other if they use the right words, right?
Oh yeah, I mean. Have you ever seen the videos? Like, there's videos on YouTube where they have, they have a whole conversation. It's hilarious. But I don't even know what sets it off. Like, I didn't say anything. Oh, well, sorry.
All right. So we've been beating around the bush, perhaps figuratively and literally here with this. And, you know, you get to the center of the idol and, you know, you get a random chance to get one of the following, and this is perhaps the thing that will keep the friends' chats and the world's busy going forward with this, is that when you get to the center, you have a random chance of receiving either of a double cut rate, 10% chance to increase woodcutting success, 10% chance to get double logs or cut twice on ivy, vines, or crystal, a 5% XP boost, or a log auto-banking effect. So that's what you get after you reach the center.
And am I correct in saying that these last for 15 minutes? Is that
15 minutes?
Okay. And you could jump worlds and collect multiple buffs at the same time, right?
If there's multiple idols going down, yes.
Okay.
Though with this now being said, you cannot bottle them up like the fishing boosts.
Right. Okay.
And that was a concern of people in friends chat and whatnot. So, and I mean that makes sense because you might not necessarily find it's the right time to go cut elders. So,
yeah.
I mean, a 10% a double cut rate for elders. That's gonna be great for 15 minutes, right? So,
yeah. You know, I don't know if it was bottled, that might be better. 15 minutes, like immediately after you clear the idol. I don't know if it's long enough.
I think the 15-minute time period is long enough. It's just a question
you think so?
You know, triggering it when you're ready.
See, and that would be nice because, like the auto banking, where would that be good? Well, the Acadius would be great because that's still the best simple parts. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, I've actually moved from Acadius for simple parts to just dumping in my magic logs from the kingdom into an auto disassembler.
How do you get magic logs from your kingdom?
Oh, maple logs. Sorry.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, I do that too. I was like, I'm like, man, Shane's got a kingdom. What's going on here? Like I'm over here with the slums, dude.
Yeah, that's because we were
managing the ghetto. Shane's got him a gated community.
We were talking about magic logs beforehand.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
All right.
Yeah, but that's perhaps my only complaint about this because you know you need to put yourself in the figure of someone who's an Iron Man or a new character coming up and seeing if this is a good update or not, and it is.
Yeah, I mean, I think in of itself, it is good. And I think you're probably, well, you're definitely right when it comes to the deep sea fishing setting this really high benchmark. And maybe it's not completely fair. I think what I try to keep in my mind, what deep sea fishing, what the benchmark is for me, is that it has this lean forward approach within the stuff that's coming out.
Right.
And so that I feel like this update is missing, but maybe that will come in at some point. I don't know. Other than that, I mean, it's a decent, you know, it's a decent update. I don't have any complaints.
Yeah,
and definitely. It definitely hits the right, the sweet spot when it comes to the XP and where they're aiming it for.
Yeah, and I mean, when you look at where Ivy was, it makes total sense to throw this in right here. So, yeah. And I mean, you know, we another way of diversifying woodcutting might be to add something else that can be used for invention other than just augmenting a crystal hatchet. Kind of like how fishing has the automatic, something we can willingly disassemble. So, because no one is going to disassemble a crystal hatchet, right?
Yeah, that's too much time. It's too much time to get it.
So,
but we might not. I mean, who knows what happened? Oh wait, no, that's it.
And I mean, there's also right, the woodcutting outfit, the lumberjack outfit. So
yeah,
I think it fits the right spot with this, and I don't really have any complaints except from the fact it's not bottled. So,
yeah, and maybe we can advocate for your active ivy approach, because that would be cool.
I think that's actually a good idea. And I mean, all you need to do is just remove a couple things from the drop tables and add something else to them. I mean, I'm sure there's lots of things on the combat side of things that people would be very happy about. So. All right.
I like money.
Yeah, definitely.
I love money.
And you know, I'm going to tell you a story. One of our early forum moderators here at RSBNB, let me see if I can pull up the posts from way back in the day. He at the end of the day, turned out to he did some horrible things after he left us, you know, involving in terms of account selling and whatnot, which was just downright horrible. I won't specifically say who we're talking about here. But, you know, he was at the time, you know, one of the first people to get a 99 Slayer and, you know, sell those Abyssal Whips when they were up high. But before that, he was very involved in wood cutting Magic Logs. And, I mean, this is when Magic Logs were 1K to 1100 GP each. So, you know, when it came down to it. It was a good training method back in the day. So that's something that was used to make lots of money back then, and I don't see why we shouldn't be able to make money off that today. So it was definitely something I had experience with and witnessed numerous times in the past. So, all right. You ready to move on to some patch notes? I think we've covered that cutting update fairly well. So, alrighty, so this week you are it's no longer possible to repeatedly start the graveyard cutscene during You Are Hit when you attempt to dig in the graveyard.
It's a good fix.
You are in the know. The quest journal for You Are Hit has been updated with information. Do you want to know what information that is?
Yeah, I want to know. Like, now I'm like, what is that?
Well, it's nothing out of the ordinary. I'm just going to say this. It says it's a short quest. It says it's a novice quest. It says you need a rope. And it says the start point is McRubber's Wood.
Oh. Okay.
So unless you look at a guide or you ask someone, you're still going to need to clear cut the forest to begin.
Okay. Well, that's nice. At least they narrowed it down to that part of the world, right?
Right. Right. The reward for completing the post-quest activity for You Are It is now keepsakeable. And for those of you guys who aren't aware, that is the necklace from the person who shall not be named, which has lots of promise going forward. So that makes sense why that would be keepsakeable for now, because there's really nothing we can do with it in the meantime. So, You can no longer disassemble Lily of the Valley objects for invention components.
Well, I wonder what components you got.
I would say probably living, but I don't know exactly.
Well, not anymore.
And you know, with this, they also did remove the Lily of the Valleys from the game this week as well. So, let's see, what could they possibly get? I'm thinking live components, perhaps.
Organic, healthy, maybe. Or,
yeah.
I don't know.
And I mean, it would be interesting if they were actually pretty, if they had a high chance to give some of these, right?
Yeah, that would be hilarious.
Yeah, so I actually thought of picking one of these, but you know, they've just been around for so long that I never did. So, following from that, sealed clue scroll objects can now be distributed through loot share, with respecting each player's individual clue scroll soft cap. That's interesting. And I mean, I guess it would just work with loot share and determine how much or who should get the clue scroll, right?
Yeah.
So, Blue will now output your total clues completed when using him as a familiar override, and that's, of course, the ultimate pet that you can unlock from the clue scroll reward shop.
Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah, I'd like to see some of the numbers on those for everyone. And at that point, I'll just actually take a quick mention to remind everyone that we do have a new Informer article out this week from Colton entitled Treasure Trails, A Trove of Fun, where Colton talks about what got him started on Treasure Trails and why they still reign supreme today for him. So you can find that at informer.rsbnb.com. Now, this next one is the patch note that I mentioned. In preparation for Solak's release at the end of the month, Blight Bolts have been added to the drop tables of the Lost Grove creatures, and Blight Bolts will be the ammo used in the Tier 92 Blightbound crossbow. So, and I mean, if they're just dropping these, that's good. Like we said, they could have definitely added a fletchable component for these, so.
Yeah, something like they did with the, what was it, the Soul Gazers? That ammo.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't recall what it is. But
I don't remember what the name of, but yeah.
That was the first update we opened the year with, believe it or not.
I know. It's crazy, huh?
Yeah. When an item is below 5% charge, it'll now tell you what percent charge it has remaining when it's equipped. And I mean, that's good because you don't want your item to disappear when you're in mid-combat. So. Yeah. New players will now go directly to Tutorial Island by default instead of Ashdale if they select the New or Returner option at Character Creation. And new players that elect to skip the tutorial will still go to Berthorpe. Tutorial Yay. Island's back.
Yay, you called that, right?
Yep. And, you know, you got to wonder why people are going to go to Ashdale now when they, how are people going to get sent there for the quest, right?
Yeah, it's going to be the quest. That would be the only reason.
Yeah. And,
or, you got your weekly thing.
The weekly Agaroth, but a new player's not going to like that. So
that's true. That's true.
And it looks like it's not on the world map, so it looks like they're going to keep it as a purely kind of instanced area off the map square, which I guess makes sense, right? I mean, you don't need to have you don't need to have Tutorial Island right out there, but
that's kind of like what makes it magic when you get through the tutorial and then all of a sudden you're dropped in here with all these people and you're being yelled at as a noob for the first 2-3 hours.
But, yeah.
You know, back in the days of Lumbridge.
I remember that well. Yeah. That's
Let
good.
Let me trim your armor. Okay.
Let's just take a moment and realize what that means, because, you know, we talked about this when the A-B test was going on. We had a look at it, and, you know, we said it felt more whole and it felt more traditional RuneScape, and it, you know, it didn't feel as obtuse as Ashdale. And, you know, they're going to need that when mobile comes out. So definitely a good choice to make, I think. And I think lots of people who come back to the game create new accounts. You know, people who have been away for a decade plus are going to remember Tutorial Island and immediately get hooked with that. So, And it also does a good job at introducing EOC as well with Revolution. So there's that. Mm-hmm. Hit splats, which you can no longer toggle for other players' abilities, will now be slightly faded to help yours stand out a bit more. So basically, if you're in a group of people, others will be slightly faded and yours will be the full opacity or see-through level that they are currently, which I think makes sense. Because you want to know which ones are yours.
Well, yeah, I really wouldn't even care to see anyone else's as long as I could tell what I was doing, you know?
Yeah, well, I mean, there is a case for seeing everyone else's in that it shows that things are being done to the creature rather than just watching the health bar. So,
yeah, I mean, look, I am not a PBMer, so I'm sure there are many, many, many reasons why you would want that, but... I don't know. For me, I get confused.
Okay. They added a purple hit splat option. Remember that crazy update they added in the settings where you can change your hit splat colors? You know, that's an accessibility update. That's fine. But there are hit splats for other things as well. And I don't think that we should allow people to change their colors like that willy-nilly. So,
you know, I like that there was an accessibility update, but when you already have a pre-existing system that is using color,
right? Because poison is green, problem. Exactly. Mist is blue, disease is orange. So,
yeah, that's where you kind of run into trouble.
Yeah, stuns are now cleared when transitioning from Telos Phase 4 to 5. Okay.
Oh, okay. Good.
Lily of the Valley is gone for another year. Recharging your jewelry at the Legends Guild totem pole while having charged combat bracelets or skill necklaces will no longer revert them back to uncharged versions.
When is the last time you did that?
I have no idea.
I can't remember either. It's been years.
But basically what you're seeing here is a swap in that, you know, if you had a charged version and you used the totem pole, it would uncharge them.
Yeah.
So basically what you can do then, if you're wondering how this works, is that you can see that there was an assumption being made that I'm guessing they just modified it rather than changing the charge count, is that if the charge was empty, fill charge. If it's not, then toggle the charge state. So that could be where that comes from on the back end. Floor 60 now has a chance to drop M and Thok Letter Part 10, as well as Mysterious Chronicle Part 10, for those of you guys who Dungeoneer.
Okay.
I've never been to Floor 60, have you?
I think so, yeah. Yeah, because you're not 120 yet, are you?
No, I'm not even 99. Yeah,
yeah. Oh, okay, yeah. I was like, I'm trying to think. I'm like, yeah, I'm pretty sure I have.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. And finally, non-member accounts with less than 150 total level are now unable to enter friends chats.
It's probably a good thing.
Yeah, and, you know, it's apparently been done for spam. There was actually a post put out on this, and basically the idea behind this is that both RS and Old School have... a quote significant problem with people making new accounts just to join the same friends chat they've been kicked out of, which of course makes friends chat admins have to clear these accounts away. So with this, the community content and engine teams got together to come up with something that would help this, and this is their 150 total level. So they're going to be working on something else going forward to provide a more permanent, less draconian solution, because I mean, I'm sure we all know people who have created a brand new account and want to come into a friends chat, right?
Yeah, you know, I mean, this is kind of like akin to, wasn't there some different native peoples that wouldn't name their kids for like the first year because they might not make it anyway?
I'm not aware of that, but it makes sense.
Yeah, I've heard it before.
I mean, it makes sense given the way things were back in the Dark Ages, right?
I don't know if it's true, but I've heard that. Yeah. But so now you have to have 150 because you might not make it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So, all right. So that's it for the patch notes this week. I think a modest patch note week, which is fine.
Yeah, and you know, a lot of your art fixes, which is always to be expected the week after.
Whether or not that helps, I don't know. We'll have to ask the people when they end up starting the quest.
Yeah, right. I mean, yeah.
So, all right. So, skill capes. We've actually talked about skill capes before a lot on the show, and you know, they came out with a dev blog on this. And before we go too far into this, I just want to say that there has been questions that have been asked about these, and you know, I asked one of these questions on Twitter to everyone regarding this who was involved in this, and we did get a reply to it. The ones we're going to talk about here do not include the smithing and mining capes, and the idea behind this is that they're going to look at these capes when the mining and smithing rework comes
out. Yeah, I think that's fair.
Yeah. Though with that being said, the mining cape for the +2 mining boost is apparently one of the more used capes.
Yeah, that surprises me. But cool. You know.
All right.
Probably one of the more used ones because people are trying to get their 99s and 120
minings and 200 mil minings, and it just helps. Yeah. So let's get the elephant out of the room here first. And, you know, there was a lot of discussion, and including discussion from us that was sent along regarding this. You know, when we had that discussion about the capes, I did post that section of the show on Twitter and whatnot and at the appropriate people. So our voices were heard probably on that. Now, with that being said, there was a considerable amount of comments regarding adding perks to the virtual 120 skills and how that moves the goalpost to 120 rather than 99. While we were very careful in designing how these virtual cape perks would function, we have had a chance to reflect on the situation and have decided not to pursue virtual skill cape perks for now. By doing this, the capes remain cosmetic only, and Team Eclipse can move on to another project much sooner, meaning even more content for you to get stuck into. I'm going to claim victory on this because this is the direction I wanted them to go with this because, you know, you see 99 invention, 99 dungeoneering, or sorry, 120 dungeoneering, 120 invention, 120 slayer. Those all have meaning to go to 120, and those all have content past 99. And there's things to train that are unique on the way from 99 to 120. So it makes sense for those things to have their own perks, and that I completely agree with. But at the same time, there's no content for 99 farming to 120 farming, 99 herblore to 120 herblore, and so on and so forth. So in that regards, it didn't make sense to add these perks to the virtual capes. So that's good. That's good.
Yeah, and I mean, I can remember, I think I was an outlier on that too, because I was really on the fence, and I thought maybe we could do that and it would be okay. But I really settled right with everybody and think probably doing the right thing by just, you know, keeping the perks at the actual skills that have the content for them.
Yeah. And I mean, that's good because that way then it makes like, there's a perk at 120. There's something in the skill at 120, but there's no content. I got to train to 120, and I'm going to use all this old content at sub 99 to get to 120, which doesn't really make sense, right? So,
right, you know, and I think it's just the idea of having some kind of a reward for doing all that work. But, you know, I guess going into it, you know that your reward is the prestige of having that cosmetic cape, and until they extend the skills, Yeah, I've changed my mind. I think that's probably the right way to go. I still want a 120 max cape though.
Yeah, there's nothing in here on that, so we'll have to wait.
I know.
So, Dungeoneering, the 120 Dungeoneering perk will have a chance to allow you to choose the boss you face in Daemonheim and increases the chance of receiving lore drops.
See, I like the lore drops. Now, the boss chance, I mean, that's great. You usually do that with your aura. So I don't know if that's going to, like, if you'll get to do that.
It'd probably twice stack. Now.
Yeah, see, so that's cool. I mean, hey, one less blink is worth $1 million. Trust me.
Yeah. The invention cape will give a increased chance of receiving components when disassembling.
Okay.
I mean, it's something, right?
It's something. Definitely.
Bad.
It's not bad. I think it's the weaker on the list, maybe. But not bad. It's just, does anybody disassemble anymore? Do you just use your machines?
That's a good point. Slayer, once a day you can choose the task from the Slayer Master of your choice.
That's cool. I mean, it is, but are we still going to get to be our own master? Because I kind of wanted that when I was the Slayer Master.
Yeah, that would be a good reward. And I mean, this kind of steps logically into that, right?
Yeah, that's true.
Now, the Master Quest Cape will offer teleports to a selection of locations, including the Champions, Heroes, and Legends Guild, the Wise Old Man's House, and Tears of Gothics.
I gotta know what you think about this, because as someone that just does quests because I have to do them, this doesn't sound like all that big to me, but what is it to you, someone actually really into this stuff?
The only useful one is to Tears of Gothics.
Okay.
Legends Guild, Heroes Guild, Champions Guild. I mean, maybe if you got a Champions Challenge, but beyond that. Wise Old Man, quick teleport to Draenor, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. I mean,
it's something, though, right? I guess you get Tears to go next.
So. I mean, you go through so much to get that cape. I don't think people who are with the Master Quest cape are going to care that much, because you have done all the quests in game. You've got all the lore. You've put yourself through friggin' next AOD to get that cape. Dungeoneering.
And what really could, well, I mean, you know what I mean? Like, what could you have as a perk on that anyway? So
I don't know.
I was curious.
I don't know. All right. So now on to the 99 perks. So they looked at their internal data and the suggestions that were sent in, and they put together a list of existing skill cape perks that could do with a little bit of a rework. And they have listed the ones that they feel need some attention and are going to be completely reworking the perks. So here we go. Agility, you will no longer fail obstacles.
Wow.
I wonder if this extends out to the to the poison traps in the Elflands.
Boy, that's a really good question. I don't know. I was thinking rip Surefoot aura, but you know, how many people probably want to spend their points on that anyway? So it's a good one. All of these are good.
I mean, previously it used to give you double tokens. Chance of getting double tokens at the agility.
Yeah, that's so worthless. So worthless.
Construction, a chance to save planks while building your POH, which is good.
That's very good, yeah.
And, you know, previously it reduced the cost of creating planks. So.
Oh, is that what it was?
Yeah.
I was talking to some of my friends with that, you know, have 120 and went for the pet and all that, and they couldn't even remember. Like, I don't even know what it did. That's how good
reduce
it was.
Reduce the cost
no
of creating planks by 10%, stacking with portable sawmills and plank make.
Yeah, save planks is so much better.
Crafting, a chance to cut all gems in your inventory at once.
Awesome.
Which previously removed the need for thread when crafting with leather.
Yeah, I think the gem one is better. I think it's an improvement.
Divination, all wisps will now last for a fixed amount of time. This one is good, especially if you're using it as a money-making tool.
Oh, yeah.
Previously, it would allow you a chance to save energy when weaving.
Yeah, no. Useless.
All right, now everyone's favorite onto fire making. Fire spirits will now give better rewards, and the cape will act as a light source.
Okay.
And, you know, this kind of goes into the pitch can fire making and whatnot as well, because previously the cape provided the ability to start an elder log fire, and that was it. I mean, and we said at the time, who starts fires, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Now, when you look at a fire spirit, you can get those when you're fire making training with line fire making and the pitch can, which now when you combine that with this cape, these fire making spirits have a chance to drop things, well, related to fire making. So chance for a dragon stone, chance for some ore. So basically these rewards here are going to be increased. So I'm happy. Fletching has a chance to make extra bolts and arrows.
That's a really good one.
Yeah.
I think that's a good one for
And I mean, we also said this as well. When was the last time someone with 99 fletching made a bow? Because previously, the perk provided a 5% chance to automatically string a bow.
Yeah, exactly.
Hunter increased range for traps.
You know, at first I thought, oh, that's not all that great, but it's actually really good.
Yeah, this is actually a really good one, especially if you're doing skill chinchampa hunting, because when you are trapping those, you have to look at what the skill chinchampa area is, and that's one of the more limited hunting areas, right? So if you can increase the range on those, and that will just effectively draw everything in there.
Yeah, it's really good for there. It'll also be good to pull your ornate turtles in and stuff from further away.
Yeah. And previously it was limited to herblore habitat, but who really wanted to go there?
Exactly.
Now for thieving, all pickpocketing drops will now be noted.
Huh. Most of them are noted anyway, though, aren't they?
Yes, except for... I wonder how that's going to work for the elf pickpocketing.
Oh, the elf pickpocketing. Now that... Because there are some things that aren't noted, like the
birds'
fish,
nests.
Like the sharks, birds' nests.
And I don't know if you can note birds' nests, because they're all different based on the seed that's in them.
Yes, but they're noted as either a seed or a jewelry.
Oh, they are?
I think so.
Okay. Interesting. So... if this applies to elf training, elf pickpocketing, that's going to be a big one.
Mm-hmm.
Because previously, this just reduced the amount of time you were stunned by 2 ticks, which, I mean...
Nothing.
So,
it gives you a reason to use it, because if you're pickpocketing, you're going to be using the Arty cape anyway. I mean, the Arty 3 cloak or what,
right.
What have you. You know, so this actually will give you something.
It's choice, and having choice is good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
All right, and they did actually publish an FAQ on this. In a similar vein, we will allow the thieving skill cape to stack with the Ardoian cape.
Oh, cool.
So if you have the Ardoian cape, it'll factor into it, I'm guessing, kind of like, like a max. Let's see what else here is in the FAQ. Agility. Some people have questioned whether this will be useful. Our current use of obstacles has been limited in places like the Heffin course. Well, there are some places that it can be used. We can make more obstacles with a fail chance, and future high level courses can also be designed with this in mind. Oh, so this is not necessarily for shortcuts. This is for actual agility courses.
Yeah, I was thinking like the advanced. What would it be like?
Advanced barbarian? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and they say, you know, high-level courses can be designed with this in mind, such as the high-level Brimhaven Agility Arena we have mentioned previously. It will grow in value over time. Constitution, several players have asked for this to work in combat. We are happy to accommodate this, and we'll make the change for the Constitution perk. That's interesting. The Constitution perk doubles... the base life point regeneration while not in combat, and it stacks with fortitude. So basically, you're now going to have double life point regeneration while in combat.
Okay.
I don't know.
I guess that takes away that early prayer, but no big deal.
Yeah, I don't know if people are going to use it, but hey, it's something, right?
Yeah, it's something.
So. All right. Moving on to beyond that, crafting least used. There has been a large response in favor of the current perk for thread. As such, we will keep it alongside with the newly suggested gem cutting perk. So it'll be both.
Okay.
I don't know.
Even better.
Yeah, I mean, even better.
even better.
Divination. Each wisp will be given us a fixed spawn time. Rewards like the ethereal connection from memory to Guthix will extend the wisp duration on top of this fixed amount. Boy, I want some of these in-game today.
I know, right?
Because I have the divination really perk, and I use that as a money-making method.
Yeah.
Yes, you will be able to take the Dungeoneering cape into Dungeoneering.
Okay.
That's cool. A big one. They haven't completed the balancing yet on the Firemaking cape, and it will likely result in low-value drops being less frequent or the amount increasing. Though there were a few mentions of the current perk being useful, it's actually one of the least used, with only around 60 people using it a day.
And those 60 people put it on their max capes and forgot it was there. They don't even know it's there.
Oh, boy. All right. Prayer. The prayer perk was considered weak. A reminder of everyone here what the prayer perk was. The prayer perk was, if I can find the letter P in this list here, it provides the effect of having two lit incense burners without having to light them when offering bones at a POH altar. So,
yeah, that's pretty weak. It's not bad. I mean, it's not as bad as some of the others. But.
As part of the quality of life fixes, they will allow the skill cape to inherit the XP buff if you have the first age cape unlocked. So it's going to kind of stack those two together.
Oh, that's cool. That's actually real cool.
Yeah. Thieving. Okay, we already talked about thieving. Allow it to stack. Slayer. Considerable number of you have expressed your opinion that you're not happy with the 120 Slayer perk. As such, we propose a change to the following. Once a day, you'd be able to choose your task from your Slayer Master of choice. Like Reaper's Choice, this will allow you to select the task you would most like to do from the tasks available from that Slayer Master, which is what we already talked about.
Yeah.
Master Quest Cape teleports not being particularly useful. These were a few examples of what we could include. However, we would be interested in hearing more suggestions for areas you'd like to teleport that have a link to the Master Quest Cape, i.e. areas that should have a strong lore connection. All right.
Yeah.
Thinking right away, the World Gate.
World Gate, yeah, that would be good. Phoenix Lair?
Phoenix Lair, sure. Also, another one I could think of would be, just the general Mauritania area, because there's so many quests in that area, right?
Yeah, that's for sure. Yeah.
Another one could be Zanaris.
Yeah.
Fairy Tale quest line.
That'd be cool.
Those would be my top four. But definitely the World Gate.
Yeah, for sure. That's a good one. That's big one to kind of not have in there.
Yeah. Another option might be Centistan.
That would be really nice because we still only have the dig site, right?
Yeah. Now, some additional information. 120 perks will work alongside the 99 perk, and you will need to use the Master Quest Cape or the Master Cape on your Max or Comp Cape to add this additional effect if you have the 99 perk. You may have noticed a lack of the mining and smithing perk changes due to the rework. That'll be later. So that's the FAQ on this. So.
Okay.
Overall, I think this is a good step forward.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're mostly greatly improved. So, I'm really happy with what they've come up with so far.
Yeah. And I mean, when you look at it, these were the ones that needed to be done. We went through these on the show a couple mm-hmm. weeks ago, but, we identified these ones, I think, that all could be fixed. And we threw a couple others in there, like the prayer cape and whatnot. So those are receiving their own fair share of attention. So I'm overall happy with this.
Yeah. Yep.
All right. So shall we move on to the May content showcase stream that we had this week?
Yeah, let's get into the fun.
Yeah. I don't know. What would you think of this?
It wasn't as jam-packed as some of the previous content showcases. This one really focused a lot on the farm and, you know, a little bit on Minifoss. I thought it was okay. I don't know if it was enough to put in a content showcase. But,
yeah. Yeah.
I watch them. You know what I mean? Like, I was just kind of like, eh, it's okay.
Now, you know, with this, you know, they did actually address something called Metaphos, believe it or not, because we're coming up to the 1 year anniversary on that. So,
can you believe it?
Yeah. Yeah.
The rep system. It took a year to do some things that should have been there in day one.
They want to overhaul the rep system with this. You know, they called it, quote, a bit off, too grindy, and too long. Which I think which we could have told everyone, right?
Really? Huh. I never noticed.
Yeah. They said it should have been treated as a skill within the city, as in you do things in the city to get XP for it and you unlock benefits along the way. Which, I mean, we said from day one, you don't put cosmetics behind it in four quests.
Yep, so, exactly.
And what they're going to do with this is they're going to increase the reputations for all the main quests. So Jack of Spades will offer a 25% increase, Crocodile Tears, another 25%, Our Man in the North, another 25%, and then Fight Club, another 25%, for a grand total of, by the time you complete Fight Club, of receiving double reputation in Metaphos. So,
see, that makes sense. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. And I don't know. I still don't think they should have been locked behind the reputation.
You know, I don't either. I am glad that I haven't done them so that now I can do them quicker and easier.
Also with this, during the month of June, there will be double reputation rate for obelisks and scarabs.
So, I mean, you can finish out your rep real quick, like, if you...
Yeah, I think that would effectively put it at, what, about a week and a half now? I think it was 2.5 weeks to do the rep with the soul obelisks, so... And, I mean, it doesn't take long per day for that, so... I think people who were away from the game and whatnot will definitely be able to cash in on this, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Now, they're not going to go the full route and offer up reputation from Pyramid Plunder, unfortunately.
Yeah, I wish we could have gotten that, because they did add the agility pyramid as being able to get reputation from the little thing you turn in. So I would have liked to have seen it from Pyramid Plunder. I would have liked to have seen a little bit more. The other thing was the... what is it, Shane? Help me here.
The agility pyramid?
No, this was a Minifoss thing. The little mini game that no one does anymore. Or no one did in the beginning. Shifting Tombs.
Shifting Tombs. There you go.
I would have liked to have seen something to make that a little, you know, some more reputation with that or just something. I don't know what, but something.
Yeah, and I mean, there's still options for this. I don't know if Pyramid Plunder would at all be a possibility for this, but maybe. I don't know. And I mean, when you think about it, what, you know, with safe cracking, right? Safe cracking again. Why not? Why not add that to Pyramid Plunder?
Exactly.
I'm actually going to send a tweet to Mod Timbo right now from the RSBNB account on this.
There you go.
Because I mean, we talked about this so many times in the past, right? That, I mean, why not? So, because what purpose does Pyramid Plunder serve right now, aside from maybe getting the scepter or some mid-level thieving training below level 60?
You know, it doesn't. And why do we want to keep holding the poor people of Sofaheim down? You know, they've been under the shadow of Minifoss for so long. Can't we give them something.
Yeah. So.
By allowing us to loot their pyramid. Mm-hmm. Get a reputation for it. Mm-hmm.
At JX Timbo, any chance of getting Menafo's rep from Pyramid Plunder with the upcoming fixes on the way this June for the 1 year Menafo's anniversary? All right, let's see if we get a response to that.
There you go, people. That's breaking news right there. That's all we do.
Yeah, influencing in the middle of a podcast, so we'll just have to wait and see. All right. Beyond that, I don't know that I pulled too much else out from the Menafo's segment on this, but the bulk of this did focus on the player on farm, didn't it?
It really did. And I'm pleased so far. Things are looking pretty cool. But what does a farming expert think?
You know, I really can't provide a good thorough review on what we've seen so far until I know what the XP rates are going to be, which we don't have, because we need to figure out, is this going to be supplemental training to trees and whatnot, or is this going to be a replacement to it, just like safecracking was? Is this going to be an active method of training, just like safecracking was? Or is this going to be something that is going to run parallel to trees? We just don't know right now, because we haven't seen too much of the mechanics, because the growth time for the animals and whatnot was set down to very low. Based on what we have seen, I can tell that it's going to be a way to perhaps get stuff out of farming skill that's not necessarily as lucrative as herbs, because you're going to still need to, grow the animals and whatnot. And with that, cultivate them, breed them in a sense for their traits that they're going to give. So basically, there's going to be a disease system for the farm animals, and it'll affect their stats. And you're going to be able to effectively examine the animal and perform veterinary duties on this. That's the best way they described it. There's going to be 6 diseases with various cures that you're going to have to cure for them. And the reason they did it that way is that they wanted it to be a disease mechanic that makes sense, not just like disease with farming as it is right now, where it gets diseased and you just need to cure it, and if you don't, the thing dies. So I think that that's on the right track. They say there's going to be traits from these animals. They'll be, quote, silly or sensible, and, traits will increase the XP for checking the animal and are bred onto the animal from the parents. There's going to be shiny animals as well, kind of like shiny Pokemon cards, I guess. They're going to get more XP. They're going to look different. They're going to sell for more. And the animals that they are launching with include cows, chickens, rabbits. Let's see, what was the other one? I lost that on the list. Stand by here. Spiders, dragons, sheep, yak, chinchampas, zygomites. Yeah. So... that's what we can expect on that. I think that's a good selection of animals, right? I mean, it's not too many, and it's, not 3, so that's good.
Yeah, no, I think it's cool. Yak Yak City.
No. You're going to be able to get magic beans from the farm, and they're going to be expensive. And the idea behind this is that this will be a way of rapidly growing something in a farming patch. So the example that was given here is that the magic beans were used on an allotment patch, and they just grew strawberries right away. So I'm actually most interested about those, because if you find a way to optimize your farm, I think you could very well be on a track to cultivating magic beans and then perhaps using that as another training method, because they are also going to work with tree patches.
Yes.
And probably elder tree patches as well.
Well, because you're going to get some kind of whatever is like relevant to your level within a certain range. So I think that could be interesting. Of course, it could go south in a hurry with like herbs, because you might have a lower level herb that's actually worth a lot more money that you would want to actually.
Yeah,
grow.
I don't think you're going to use it for herbs. That seems like that'd be a waste.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
From a farming perspective, you're going to want to use it on the big money patches. I don't know if you're going to be able to use it with spirit trees, spirit tree patches. That would not make sense.
No.
I mean,
you'd run out of them
those
too,
things,
though. I mean,
those things take 3 days to grow. And they give 23k XP unbuffed.
But, I mean, how many seeds would you really have on hand? Like,
yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know. It's something that's going to obviously need to be looked at going forward. And none of this has been balanced, of course. You can use the construction materials to build the pens, and they'll get built in the same way that you build invention machines. So everyone will be in the same spot, and you'll just be able to see your own, which is good. Promotes social gameplay.
Yeah, especially if they implement this farmer's market the way that they're talking, the way that it could be.
Yeah, that's going to be really neat. Though the thing I am most interested in, aside from, the magic beans, is the Master Farmer's outfit, because they're launching a Master Farmer's outfit, which is effectively an elite skilling outfit, one for trees, one for general allotments, and one for animals. Then you'll combine them into an entire outfit. And this is, I think, going to be the first elite skilling outfit that is not launched on Treasure Hunter.
Right. Well, and I thought this was interesting, too, because I thought back to our conversation about elite skilling outfit in regards to being a reward from safecracking, you know, for the thieving. And we kind of thought, well, you wouldn't want to take that away from invention, but they totally nixed invention from this one. So it's interesting. I don't really know how I feel about it. I mean, I like it, and I love the fact that it's not available through Treasure Hunter. But are they opening a door? Is this a, you know, is this a door that we want open or not?
I think this is a door that needs to be open and needed to have been forced open a number of years ago, and here's why. What is the number one complaint people have about RS3?
It's too fast? I don't know.
Microtransactions.
Oh, well, yeah, I guess that's any game, though. But yeah, you're right.
And, you know, the number one thing you hear people say about old school versus RS3, yeah, they can say they prefer the old style combat system or the old style UI or the old style charm about it. But one of the things people don't want to come back to RS3 because of is Treasure Hunter. And by putting this out there, this sends a statement, and I think this is a bigger statement than I think even Jagex thinks at this time. But this is perhaps one of the best moves that Jagex could make for a skilling update ever.
Well, I agree entirely with that, with what they're doing, you know, not doing this with Treasure Hunter. But what do you think about the invention part of this?
What do you mean?
Because that is how elite skilling outfits have been brought into the game so far.
I was under the assumption you're still going to need the level 20 odd invention level and get the components from doing this.
But you buy them from the shop. You buy you buy a blueprint from the shop.
Yeah, you buy a blueprint, and you're still going to need to get the shards, right?
Yeah, I did understand that because it said you buy the blueprint and you get the shard. So, but there was no mention of using the invention skill like we do in the others. So,
yeah, see, and that's the thing. I just assumed that is something implicit that would be happening.
Okay. I guess if that's the case, it was just something that I noticed and I thought about. Kind of interesting.
Yeah, it is, because if it doesn't involve invention, then you have two ways of bringing that in, which is not good. But, I mean, at the end of the day, when you look at it, putting in a top-tier skilling outfit like this, which they are taking suggestions of, if anyone has suggestions to send these things in, why not, right? So,
oh yeah,
it's a great idea to do it, and I was just under the assumption that you would still need to do farming to get the shards. So,
okay,
and blueprint. I didn't hear anything to that in the live stream. If I missed it, then that's my fault. But that's just what I'm assuming at this point.
Okay, well, and I heard the same thing you did. I just was taking it a different way because I was like, I just had to
assume it would work the same.
Yeah. Okay. So. Well, that's cool. Well, then it's all good. Then it's really good.
Let's see. There you get XP for each stage that an animal grows, animal perks. So an example of some of these are clue scrolls from harvesting. A chance that would be a perk that your animal could have. Bonus damage to all spiders.
you know
what that's going for, right?
Yeah, it is going to work, I guess, with the boss. So that's, you know, something. I don't know about these perks, but I'm guessing there's more that we don't know. Cause
yeah, chance to save skill chompas. Like this is 3. There are 12 in total.
Yeah, so I'm hoping there's more, you know, that we just don't know yet.
Yeah, and I mean, you can't go wrong with this. This is a Mod Raven update.
Yeah.
Now, there were also lots of good pieces of concept art with this.
Yeah, there were.
I mean, it truly looks like a farm in the concept art. And I mean, they're in the prototyping box stage right now, so they're going to get there. But I was just amazed by what some of these buildings looked like here. So it's about 41 minutes into the stream if anyone wants to go. Look at it. There's specifically one here at 43 minutes that just looks absolutely astounding. Farm environment mood. So, I mean, if they can bring these concept arts to life in the farm update, you know, that'd be great. So, just advise everyone to go have a look at these. If you're listening on YouTube, you can see those right now. But if you're listening on audio, go to the show notes and click on the stream link. And go to about 41 to 44 minutes to see those. Show notes at update.rsbnb.com. They are possibly looking at having some comp or trim requirements with this.
Yeah, and it's Mod Raven, so it's going to hurt if it gets this way.
Yeah. And I mean, that's a discussion that needs to happen sooner or later. Should comp be a moving target or whatnot? But that's not what we're going to discuss right now. I personally don't care either way about whether or not they throw these in. So, but yeah, player-owned farm. Very nice.
Yeah, you know, I thought it was looking pretty good. I mean, even at this early stage, I thought it was looking good. I liked how, you know, you moved them around to different pens and bred the animals. And I saw that there were allotments. There was an allotment patch.
Yeah, that's like, the allotment the farm. Patch by Ardoin. That's the space they're taking up for that.
Yeah, so, I mean, it looks good. I think we're going to get something good out of this. I don't know what the XP is going to be like. I almost feel like that might be secondary, that this is going to be more of
it looks like it could be a perk kind of update with how
that's
kind of
what I'm thinking.
That and spiders and whatnot.
Yeah. Yep.
So. Yeah. Anyways, shall we move on to the third and final third of the live stream?
Yeah, and these were, I was surprised that we're going to possibly get these in a batch.
What do you mean a batch?
Well, Shawnee said that they would be coming together.
Oh, right.
Yeah, and before we had been told that it wouldn't be like
that.
Yeah,
and so, you know, we were told that clan updates would take a long time regarding this, but this is actually the clan avatar rework and clan updates all batched into one here. And some of the quick bullet points for this are colored text for a reminder when you have a clan event, because you know how hard it is to get people to attend events these days.
Yeah.
You can claim XP boosts at the Citadel and you'll have it for a week. You need to have fealty by capping to get beyond the 3% boost. And the answer is, you know, capping is hard. Capping takes time. Well, they have increased resource and XP rates for action at the Citadel. Cap speed is increased and is now more AFKable, which apparently, based on this, brings the cap time down from a couple hours to about 40 to 45 minutes.
Oh, that's going to help. That's going to help smaller clans be able to build their citadels too. So
yeah, because I mean, it's unfair to ask people to stay in there for that long. So that's a good change, right?
Yeah, and you know, some clans are real hard noses about that. So this is that's a really good change.
Yeah, and I mean that you know we don't do that in Clan Quest. We fortunately have enough people to cap and keep everything going, so that we don't have to have a requirement on that. Though it is encouraged, and you know I think we will see more people doing that just to get the boost beyond the 3%, right? So
oh, for sure, yeah.
Also, with this clan, avatars are now their own pets, so you don't need to have specific avatar wardens to go out and, you know, run around and keep the avatar on World 66 and keep it in a specific area if people are training. So everyone's going to be able to have their own, so you can take them on agility courses now.
Yeah, which I think I love that. You know, we do some clan events where we will do like a skilling Sunday. Part of that is to have avatars on hand. So we'll have to make some changes with it. But, boy, how accessible does that make, you know, the avatar? Like, it's going to change a lot when it comes to the admin rank, yeah, and the warden rank.
Right.
And, you know, because you have to have a lot of admins.
Right. You know? And you know, we had built our entire ranking system around this a number of years ago. And, you know, it took a long time to iron out and whatnot. But it looks like we're going to need to do a rework for that again. Also, because the feature to mute from in the clan chat, which we had seen before on a live stream, you know, you can mute someone from just talking. It's a step between kicking and deranking them from being able to speak in the channel. So you just a reminder to everyone that there is no notification that someone is muted. It's up to the clan admins to keep track of who is muted and unmute them on their own. You're going to be able to also, with this, add a new permission to determine who can kick from the clan. So in addition to the mute feature, there is now a kick from clan permission, so that if you don't want specific ranks being able to kick, well, you can change that. And, you know, this is something that has always confused us as well, is because are we building our ranks based on what we want them to look like, or are we building their ranks based around the permission system that Jagex gives us? And kick permissions at admin plus were always really, really annoying for us.
Yeah, and that's something that, you know, that's been dangerous in the past. I'm glad that can be fine-tuned now, you know, because I've been in clans that had a rogue officer wiped out half a clan, you know what I mean? And you don't get that XP back. And if you're on an XP-based ranking system, it gets nasty. I'm telling you, it gets real nasty.
Yeah. So. Also, the event notice board will now use game time, so people aren't seeing events and times that don't make sense. Which, I mean, you're going to put the clock in, you might as well, right?
Yeah, that's good.
And I'd also like to say this. I don't know how easy it would be. If we're making things game time, there should be an option with the game clock to also show your local time as well, so you can see when events are happening local time.
I would love that.
Yeah. So, that'll be fun to see when this arrives. And, I mean, this project, for all intents and purposes, wasn't supposed to happen, but I think it addresses the biggest issues with the Citadel and the clan system in general. There's probably still issues that are there, but this is some of the big ones.
Yeah, I mean, this seems to be real thought out, and it sounds like they've really worked closely with clan leaders to find out what their needs are and what the biggest things were, you know, to be addressed.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's it for the RS section of the show. We're going to move on to our discussion topic from Parnassius. But first, just a reminder to everyone that if you want to catch up with us early in the week of what's going on, you can find the Weekly Bite at youtube.com/RSBNB, where we talk about all of the particulars of the week's update. And see, there you go. You got a bit of my part from the bite there. So the Weekly Bite this week, youtube.com/RSBNB. All right. Well, then, let us move on to the discussion topic. So, Parnassius has one, and he submitted it by audio. So, let's have a listen.
Hey guys, Panassius here with a discussion point. Now, I know you have gone over this the past couple of weeks, and I don't want to beat a dead horse, but I do want to clarify Thieves' point last week, which I think was misconstrued a bit by Tanis. Thieves wasn't saying that safecracking was not a good update or that the XP rates were a bad thing. His point, like my own fear, is that Jagex stated that they wanted skill diversity, yet that hasn't happened with this update. Safecracking, while it is an excellent addition, isn't adding that diversity. It is just replacing one training method with another. Diversity, by definition, means that there is a variety and a difference. What we want as players is that promise of diversity. We aren't asking for safecracking to be nerfed or changed, but that Jagex revisit and rebalance the older methods and keep them viable so that there is that perceived diversity that was promised. Shane noted Runespan last week, and this was the perfect example. It simply replaced one method with another, making the previous one totally redundant, and it was several years before they updated the traditional method to make it viable again and gave runecrafting that true diversity. What Thieves and many others are asking for is that same viability in this and future updates so the players have a real choice for training. Personally, to me, the XP rates at the lower tiers does seem a little exorbitant, but that is for another discussion. What we want to see is true diversity by not making older methods redundant, especially when they are rewards for high-level quests such as Dwarf Traders. This would not necessarily mean changing them to be the best XP in-game, but perhaps making the dwarfs a good source of income by adding things like high-level gems such as rubies and diamonds, and perhaps a rare chance at getting an onyx from them. To paraphrase the great Donald Trump, let's truly make skilling great again. Anyway, thanks for listening, and I will catch you all in-game.
Okay, so Dwarf Traders. I think you want to sound off on Dwarf Traders first.
Yeah, but let's... Okay. Let me begin by saying I'm pretty passionate about the safecracking update. It's something that I really personally enjoyed. For me, I feel that it does add diversity because I don't feel that it wiped out other training methods quite the same way that you guys do. And I think that's okay. I mean, I think we can have a think differently about that. I think something you said, you know, in this show actually makes a lot of sense to me. And Parnassius touched on it too, which is we could make the older methods better and bring those back in. It's not that Runespan, you know, kills everything. They had to make the other things better, right? And so now you have a more complete skill. I think the same thing would happen with thieving. Now let me assure you about something with Dwarf Traders. They're still damn viable. Because I'm getting my ass handed to me, okay? So Dwarf Traders, they're still the top of the game. They really are. But I see your point. I recognize it, and I think the way around that really is to, when something comes in like this, that maybe we also advocate for the older methods to be touched up as well. I think when you talked about the trees, that's kind of when it clicked with me, and that's kind of like when I thought, okay, I get this. Because, you know, 2 weeks ago when we're talking about Monkey Knife Fighters, I'm sitting there going, come on, that's 2006. You know what I mean? I'm like, so what? It killed it. That, I don't care if it kills that. You know, but when you bring it into perspective, talking about, okay, what if we add a mechanic to an existing method that actually makes it viable? Okay. But I still think that safecracking does add to the skill and makes it diverse, both in its lean forwardness versus AFK. Also, there isn't anything like it in the skill. So for me, it does add that to it.
Yeah, and I mean, that's the number one thing that comes to mind when talking about skill diversity is that, you know, we're not looking at everything with being a one-shot deal here, you know, as Jagex mentioned in the stream, and we'll go back to that. It's a 5-year plan with this, and, you know, it's impossible to do everything all at once, and that's fine. But at the same time, I think, you know, specifically with thieving, monkey knife fighters are a pain. They really are.
Yeah.
And they're an intermediate training method. But, I mean, they drop, what is it, black knives? And, I mean...
That's terrible, whatever it is.
Right, who wants those? And, I mean, it could very well be a ninja fix, you know, a balance pass, you know, that gets done. And if you do this balance pass and you look over all the various thieving things, you could make some of the thieving creatures, not all of them, you know, paladins come to mind, monkey knife fighters, dwarf traders. You can just make them all a little bit more lucrative, you know, by 10, 20%, maybe give or take. I don't know, probably closer to 20, I'd wager, based on what you get. Then you have the beginnings of a good update. So.
Yeah, and you know, just from my personal experience over the last couple weeks, at first I started, you know, I actually did start leaning towards what Thieves was saying with Dwarf Traders at the end of last week after the show, because I had went up there, there wasn't anyone there.
Yeah,
I'm like, I can't get the guards in the house and do all this all at the same time myself. Like, what happened to the worlds, right?
Right.
But then, not even a week later, I go, oh, wait, no, I was still kind of right, because I know someone that is pulling many, many mills from dwarf traders.
The skill.
And they're on 40. Yeah, and they're on 48, which means... which means it's still viable. So maybe it's a combination of I'm not the greatest safecracker, and I'm not getting those XP rates that people can get at Dwarf Traders. But it can go both ways, you know. I mean, obviously we're talking about a very competitive
situation.
Yeah, you know, maybe not so competitive now, but it was competitive for a while, you know.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I mean, I do understand... I understand his points, and I would expect for his safecracking numbers to be better than mine. I mean, he's an expert in the skill, so, I don't know. It's still something, though, that I think they did right.
I still can't get over the fact that you taught Sirion and myself about the active method, being the fact to use a screen magnifier.
I know, right? No one was more shocked than me, Shane.
Yeah. And I mean, when you look at it this way, I would imagine that all these things are on the plan, and it's just a matter of getting these things out there and making the accommodations for them going forward. So, and I mean, if we're talking and these things are going to start happening in the next year and a half, then that's fine. We're ahead of the curve. And if these things happen, we'll be very happy. So I think it's just a question. It's kind of like a transitionary period right now. Like, do you remember when – I don't know if you remember this. Do you remember when Jagex was getting ready for the RuneScape HD release in 2008?
That was right when I was coming in.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Because before that happened, they started updating all the graphics assets of things like Blue Dragons and whatnot, and, you know, just brought them up to the models that we have now, or, you know, have been updated with NXT again. But all those dragons, you know, previously had the original RS2 low polygon count models and whatnot. And at the same time, you know, you had when HD hit, you had areas of the game that were not graphically updated and had low polygon count models with them. And over time, all that stuff came together. And now, I mean, if you go to there's a very few places you can still go in game to look at these things. But over the time, they've all got updated. And this was a year-long process to do this. So it's going to be kind of the same thing for skilling, I'd imagine.
Yeah, and that's something that I think it's easy to lose sight of, especially when something comes out that you genuinely like and think that they've done very well with. And, you know, and I'm an emotional type person in a way. So I can get attached to things easily. That's why we balance each other real well, right, Shane? I mean, we kind of got the yin and yang sometimes, you know?
Black Knights. There was a Black Knight model from an old quest that just got updated this past year. So,
yeah, that's crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's kind of what I'm referring to.
And that's a good example.
The Black Knight Titan. When you look at it, I mean, this was you know, clearly an RS2 model. It didn't get updated for HD. It didn't get updated for NXT until all these years later. So.
And made it through the death of chivalry and the rework of the fortress and all of this stuff, right? Somehow makes it all the way through all of that. Crazy. So.
All right. Thank you, Parnassius. If you guys want to send in questions or discussion topics, you can email them to questions@rsbnb.com. You can also call or text 571-57BNB, which is 571-572-2632. You can also leave us a DM on Twitter @rsbnb. So, ready for tech news, Tanis?
I can't wait for tech news this week.
Yeah, and there's a good reason for that. Microsoft has announced their adaptive controller for players with limited mobility. So this is basically a controller that would be compatible with Windows 10 and the Xbox. And, you know, there's a number of buttons on it that are easy to press, and there's also a corresponding scratch pad that corresponds to each of the analog sticks on there. And, you know, you'll be able to plug other buttons, joysticks, foot pads, and other supported controllers into these slots. And with this, you effectively create your own controller scheme. So what they're aiming to do with this is basically provide a way of gaming for people who have mobility disabilities, which is something that, you know, not many game companies think of. And, you know, we talk about this every year with special effect, right?
Yeah.
You're going to be able to plug any damn thing that you want into this to trigger a joystick, to trigger a button, a foot pad. There's little jacks that you plug into, A, B, X, Y, right button, left trigger. You connect them up and you can control this controller however the heck you want to.
It's such a huge leap forward. I'm speechless, really. I'm so happy that Microsoft is doing this, and I'm so happy that they not only did they take the time and the development to do this, but they did all of this with, let's face it, there's not a big return on investment with this. Yeah. This is actually just makes people's lives better.
Like, just look at how big the A B buttons are.
Yeah, it's just amazing. All of this stuff had to be specially made. This is exactly what special effect does. Like, you had to specially make this stuff. All this stuff was custom, and to be able to have, one form that you could, you know, plug different things into now, makes it so much more accessible and so much easier for other organizations to be able to do their work too.
Yeah.
So it's
With this, you're going to be able to rebind the buttons. Like, for example, you could swap the AB border if you wanted to. You could make one left trigger or right trigger. You could do practically everything you can desire with this, and you just plug everything in, and they work with third-party control surfaces. And what's more about this is that you can use this with Windows 10, not only the Xbox. And you know how many games on Windows 10 support Xbox controller?
Yeah, everything.
So
most everything.
Right, and this is a big deal. And I really didn't hear too much about this. And, I mean, you look at it, and it's effectively a control surface. But this is perhaps the biggest thing that could potentially happen to PC gaming accessibility in the last 20 years when you think about it. So,
yeah, for sure. I mean, that is not an overstatement. This is really, I'm just really happy. Like, you know, it's easy to lose faith sometimes and think like all these corporations are out to get us one way or another, but they really did something good. And I think the reason you don't hear about it is it's a small community. It's a small number of people. But for the people that it affects, it's huge.
Yeah.
Like it can change your life.
And, you know, when you think about it in this regard, all a game needs to do is to support the Xbox controller to work with this accessory.
Yeah, and just about everything in my Steam library, I use an Xbox. You know, I mean, if I'm not using mouse and keyboard, if I'm using a controller, I have an Xbox controller.
Yeah, and what's more, this is going to go on sale later this year at the Microsoft Store.
$99.99. Oh, my. Oh, that is so reasonable that I don't even know what to say. Like, you understand everything, like every assistive technology is through the roof when it comes to price. Like, it's so expensive because a lot of times, I mean, it's just a market, you know? I mean, it's just how market works. They know you have to have it. You need it. And, I mean, that's usually the price that people will bear. But for them to $99?
Yep.
Still.
And there's one more thing with this. I don't know if you read into the story yet or been following it at all this week, but someone we know had a part in designing this. Dr. Mick Donegan, who is in charge of special effect, said, "This has been a milestone collaboration for us. Our experience in helping people with complex physical disabilities to access video games has enabled us to provide not only very relevant advice about features and design, but also to direct feedback from a user-centered perspective. Microsoft have a competitively priced product here that has massive potential to help many more people globally to enjoy the magic of video games." So Special Effect did indeed collaborate with this project.
Oh my god, the story just keeps getting better. Like, better and better. Oh man, Dr. Mick was on it. That's great. Oh, it's just wow. That's all I can say is wow.
Yeah.
And good on Microsoft, man.
And this
good
is the future of Microsoft going forward, is to pinpoint on something like this and develop it and bring it out. And you know, not many people see that side of Microsoft, but you know, there it is.
Well, and here's the thing. Microsoft is snatching something that when I was in college, which wasn't all that long ago, Apple was king. Apple had been the king of accessibility since the 80s. Like, all their stuff was, you know, I have to have special software, right? Because I was a PC user. But Mac users have had this stuff, like, forever. Like, you just had it when you bought. I mean, it was just on OS, right? And for Microsoft now to be not only like catching up, but just jumping forward by miles, it's kind of cool. I love to see that kind of a race go on, you know?
Yeah, and there's even a video here of it being demoed as well. So for those of you guys who want to see more, you can have a look at the show notes on this. And I mean, it looks like a video straight out of Special Effect. So,
that's so cool.
Absolutely amazing.
Wow.
All right. So I don't know if we're going to top that in tech news this week, but we're going to talk about something that YouTube did. And YouTube is announcing that they're going to be bringing out their own music streaming service very soon. And the idea behind this is that they say, you know, there's over 2 million artists already on YouTube and they want to share what they're doing. So what they're effectively going to be doing with this is on May 22nd, they're going to roll out something called YouTube Music, which is a new music streaming service, which, you know, focuses in on what YouTube already has on it, you know, all the music videos and all the artists and whatnot. And the idea behind this new YouTube Music service is that whether you're interested in listening to music, watching music videos, or finding new music to listen to, the YouTube Music app will enable that to happen. And its streaming service is going to focus on a number of things, including official songs, albums, thousands of playlists, and an artist radio, plus YouTube's own catalog of remixes, live performances, covers, and music videos. So that's what that's what YouTube Music is going to aim to do. Now, you know, they're effectively aiming themselves here as a competitor to Spotify and Apple Music with this. And, you know, I think this is something they need to do, because how many people do you know who just listen to music on YouTube, right?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, no, I have heard, like, I've heard that there was some concern that the music videos that are now are going to be laden with ads in between, really breaking that up. So, you know, I hope that doesn't happen, but I could see it being likely.
Yeah. And you know, it's going to have an emphasis on discovery, which of course Google can do based on all the AI algorithms that they have and whatnot going.
Now, does it say anything about this? Would this be wrapped up into the YouTube Red service?
Right, and that's the next thing with this. Not the TV service, but initially there's going to be an ad-supported version that's free, just like Spotify. And with this, they're launching YouTube Music Premium, which is effectively a paid membership for $9.99 a month. Now, to go beyond that, they're just going to be expanding this out to something called YouTube Premium, which is being formerly YouTube Red. So the YouTube Premium will be ad-free, background and offline across all of YouTube, as well as access to pretty much everything in the YouTube Music service as well. So the price of YouTube Premium will be $11.99 a month, which is $2 more than YouTube Music.
Okay, so for $2 more, you're getting the YouTube
getting the YouTube Red experience as well. So,
okay.
Basically, if you already have YouTube Red, nothing will change. The price will stay the same. So, but yeah, this is coming this Tuesday. So, it's going to be interesting to see how much of a footprint this can make, let's say. Because you know how many people are on YouTube listening to music, right?
Yeah. It's going to take them a while, though, catch up with Spotify.
Yeah. And I mean, if they can do that, if they can compete with Spotify and Apple Music, that's good. That's good for everyone. So,
yeah.
All right. Our last piece of tech news is that Microsoft is going to be lowering the price of their Surface tablets to compete with Apple's new $329 iPad that we talked about last month. Because recall, you know, we talked about that iPad, and this is effectively a modern, fast computer with Apple Pencil support, which, you know, positioned Apple to go back into the education market, right? Mm-hmm. So the idea behind this is that they will take the Surface model, the entry-level model, and bring it down to $400. It'll still be more expensive than Apple's cheap iPad, but at the same time, you got to remember that this is a Surface PC that includes Windows 10 Pro, a desktop operating system, for $400. A laptop for $400 sponsored by Microsoft? It's one thing to compete with Apple, but this is also going to put the screws to people like HP and Dell and all those other ones who, you know, make those cheap laptops that fall apart after a year and bundle crapware on them. So this is as good as it is for Microsoft competing with Apple as it is with HP and all those other companies.
Yeah, I mean, I'm usually not for consolidation in a field like that, but that's good to bring, you know, I mean, I like to see Apple and Microsoft go at it head to head again. It's been a while.
Yeah,
I want to see that.
And I mean, when was the last time you had Microsoft be competitive in the laptop market? So
yeah, well, exactly. I mean, this would almost make me look into a Surface.
Yeah, and you know, that's what a lot of people say, is that it is that comfortable middle of the ground between an iPad and a laptop for those who want just a little bit more than iOS offers.
Yeah.
Oh. And, you know, I got to point this out once again. Both these are right in time for the upcoming school season.
Yeah.
School shopping season. Alrighty, well, that's it for tech news. I don't think we managed to eclipse the Microsoft Adaptive Controller, but in any case, let's move straight on to other things right now. And the skill of the month update that you've been talking about.
yeah. Well, it's not every month when you have someone on the show that's in the you know, in the mix. But
okay, so Sorensen has gained 41.4 million experience. Yeah, you have gained 29.7. Then, believe it or not, we have a race for third going with Sunset Fish at 8.1 million XP, Parnassius at 8 million XP, and the RR Man at 7.8 million XP. So there's a race for third going on, but you two are duking it out. You think you can...
I would have, maybe. Like I said, I've been real busy this week. I was ahead as of Monday. I think Monday, might even Monday and Tuesday even. But when he took me, he took me.
Yeah,
like it was foot to the throat.
Are you aware you can swap the graph to daily XP gain?
No, I did not know that.
Yeah, there's a little button at the top right of the graph. You can swap it. And on the 9th, 10th, and 11th, and 12th, you actually gained more XP than Sorensen, because on the 11th and 12th, Sorensen got nothing. And on the 10th, he only got around 500K. So you can actually see what's happening here if you go into that view. But beyond that, you're kind of taking a break here. So
yeah, we've kind of switched on and off. It's been... It's a race, man. It's a race, but I don't know. He might have me. I ain't gonna lie. We'll see what happens. Still got, you know, another week or two, but
yeah.
See what happens. He's tough, man.
That's right. All right. So what do we got for our achievables this week?
All right. So we have some achievements this week, and let's start with Sina ATN. With 99 thieving on May 14th, and XOX Scotty XOX with 120 Slayer on May 13th. Nice. Diocles with 99 cooking on May 13th, and VSS with 99 invention on May 13th.
Good job, everyone. And continuing that, we have Touchpad Pro with 120 attack on May 11th. Diocles again with 99 Herblar on the 11th as well. Raw Zero Racti with 120 Slayer on May 10th. And Trips Travis rounding out this batch of achievements on May 9th with 99 ranged. Good job, everyone.
Very good.
Any 120s in your future?
Yeah. It looks like I'm going to be getting a 120 thieving by the end of the month. That's right. No, probably early June. No, I am about, I think 14 or 16 mil, maybe 16 mil away from Slayer, and I'm about 30 from cooking, and another 30 from Constitution. So things are like adding up slowly. So yeah.
All right. So what do you got for pick of the week?
You know, for pick of the week, I'm picking a game that's been around for about a year. It came out in February of 17, so February of last year. But I think it's important to recognize when a studio actually sticks with the game and makes it better. So the game I'm talking about is For Honor. And as some of you probably know, it had a really rocky start when it launched.
Was it as rocky as the achievement system?
Oh, it was worse, man. Yeah, it's worse than that. Because the achievement system, if that went away tomorrow, we still got RuneScape. If this, I don't know. This was bad. Shane, peer-to-peer server for PvP. You don't get much worse than that, right?
It's 2018. What kind of person makes that decision?
Ubisoft, apparently. Yeah, I know, right? But that was one of the problems when it launched. It was that, you know, peer-to-peer servers.
And basically, what that means is they're hosted on other people's computers, and you can't guarantee how stable that's going to be, the connection or the hardware. And people can game that too by artificially introducing lag into their line.
Exactly. And it was really laden with microtransactions. It was like real bad. And there was also, you know, not people didn't like that there wasn't enough content, you know, on the single player side. And I want to say that I picked this up last week for $10. It's another reason I'm slipping this week a little bit, because it's kind of cool. But for $10, right, this was a AAA game when it came out, a $60 game. But I picked it up for $10, and it's every issue has been addressed. So they have dedicated servers now. The microtransactions have greatly been reduced, and it's not near as bad as it once was. And there's more content. There's been constant content updates throughout the year since it launched. So for that, I've made it the pick of the week. It's fun.
So what does the gameplay look like?
The graphics are pretty decent, and the way, like, it's got some interesting mechanics on the way, like a medieval type fighting game. Because this is it's this weird hybrid between a fighting game and like a hack and slash, right? So, in some ways, you're hacking and slashing when it comes to like little NPC mobs and stuff like that. But when you run into another hero, then that's when things get interesting, right? So, the way that you're moving your mouse, it depends on how you're doing your guard. So if someone's coming at you from like the right side, you need to match that right side as your guard to be able to block that blow.
Okay, so
now
I see
why
peer-to-peer servers would be such an issue.
Yes, see, yeah. And so, like I said, it's different. It's kind of similar a little bit to Kingdom Come Deliverance, if you're familiar with kind of that combat system. Yeah, it's, I think it's kind of unique in that regard. It takes a minute to get used to it. I'm still not real used to it. And you have, like, three different factions. So you have knights, Vikings, and samurai. So it's kind of the three, you know, kind of historical factions that you can
The graphics
play
look
as.
Pretty decent.
Yeah. I mean, $10, Shane. $10. Like, I don't know what it normally retails for. I think, like, 15. But, you know,
it's amazing
sales,
how far we've come in terms of providing these cheap games on this. That's really great.
Yeah, so you know, I just think it's good to reward companies when they do well and they stick with a live game and they don't just walk away from it. So even a big company like Ubisoft can still pull it out and do well.
All right, sounds good. Thank you for that pick of the week. Let's move on to other things. So what have we been up to on our ass? You want to go first? I mean, we know you've been thieving.
You know what I've been doing, right? Yeah. And that's really all I have been doing. Like I said, this week's been a little bit of a time crunch this week, but, yeah, when I'm on, I'm stealing stuff. And, apparently I need to steal stuff from other places too, but.
Oh,
I need to broaden my horizons. I don't know.
Yeah, well, best of luck in the skill, but this is the first skill in a month in a long time that I've been aware of where people are spying on each other to figure out what they're up to.
Right.
All right.
Lying in wait.
I mean, if one of you guys wants to go to the wilderness for training,
you know, hey.
Any safes in the wilderness for you?
There are some safes in the wilderness. I haven't went to them. I mean, I've scoped them out. I haven't actually gotten them.
Okay.
I've cased a joint, but
I'm just trying to imagine if this could be a skill of the month where you would go in to the wilderness, and if it was really this competitive, if other people would try and kill the other competitors.
Oh, if I could kill him, I'd kill him, but I don't know if I could do that. He's probably better PvP than I am. I don't know, but oh yeah, in a heartbeat.
All right, well that's absolutely hilarious. But as for me this week, just tested the woodcutting idols. I actually went away last weekend and that's why we had the show out earlier. You guys will note the last week's show arrived on earlier on Friday than normal. So that's why that happened. So that was nice and refreshing. But when I got back, just did a couple of the clue scrolls that came from You Are It. And one of the medium ones actually gave me a boater that's apparently worth 1.3 million GP.
Ooh, we got the boater.
Yeah. So, but that was fun. But aside from that, back to Divination Gathering. And I need to really clean up my bank. I've been just collecting too many things in there. So, but beyond that, not too much. Looking forward to what we're going to be doing later on. So, that being said, that's it for this episode of RSBNB Update, unless you got anything else, Tanis.
Nope, that is it.
All right. Well, if you guys want to join us in game, we're at Friends Chat Bits Bytes. Hopefully, we'll see you there. And if you want to follow us on Twitter, that's at RSBNB. That's where we sent in that live feedback to Mod Timbo. And also, full show notes for this episode and lots of other good stuff can be found on the show website at update.rsbnb.com. So, with that being said, we'll see you next week for another episode of RSBNB Update. Take care, everyone.
See ya.